CD 4. The ship dropped quietly to land on the edge of the wide clearing, 100 yards or so from the village. It arrived suddenly and unexpectedly, but with a minimum of fuss. One moment, it was a perfectly ordinary late afternoon in the early autumn. The leaves were just beginning to turn red and gold. The river was beginning to swell again with the rains from the mountains in the north. The plumage of the picker birds was beginning to thicken in anticipation of the coming winter frosts. Any day now, the perfectly normal beasts would start their thunderous migration across the plains, and old Thrashbarg was beginning to mutter to himself as he hobbled his way around the village, a muttering which meant that he was rehearsing and elaborating the stories that he would tell of the past year, once the evenings had drawn in and people had no choice but to gather round the fire and listen to him and grumble and say that that wasn't how they remembered it. And the next moment, there was a spaceship sitting there, gleaming in the warm autumn sun. It hummed for a bit and then stopped. It wasn't a big spaceship. If the villagers had been experts on spaceships, they would have known at once that it was a pretty nifty one, a small, sleek Hirundi four-berth runabout with just about every optional extra in the brochure except advanced Vectoids stabilisis, which only wimps went for. You can't get a good, tight, sharp curve round a trilateral time axis with advanced Vectoid stabilisis. All right, it's a bit safer, but it makes the handling go all soggy. The villagers didn't know all that, of course. Most of them, here on the remote planet of Lamwella, had never seen a spaceship, certainly not one that was all in one piece, and as it shone warmly in the evening light, it was just the most extraordinary thing they'd come across since the day Kerp caught a fish with a head at both ends. Everybody had fallen silent. Whereas a moment before, 2 or 3 dozen people had been wandering about, chattering, chopping wood, carrying water, teasing the picker birds, or just amiably trying to stay out of old Thrashbarg's way, suddenly all activity died away and everybody turned to look at the strange object in amazement. Or not quite everybody. The picker birds tended to be amazed by completely different things. A perfectly ordinary leaf lying unexpectedly on a stone would cause them to skitter off in paroxysms of confusion. Sunrise took them completely by surprise every morning, but the arrival of an alien craft from another world simply failed to engage any part of their attention. They continued to caw and writ and huck as they pecked for seeds on the ground. The river continued with its quiet, spacious burbling. Also, the noise of loud and tuneless singing from the last hut on the left continued unabated. Suddenly, with a slight click and a hum, a door folded itself outwards and downwards from the spaceship. Then, for a minute or two, nothing further seemed to happen, other than the loud singing from the last hut on the left, and the thing just sat there. Some of the villagers, particularly the boys, began to edge forward a little bit to have a closer look. Old Thrashbarg tried to shoo them back. This was exactly the sort of thing that old Thrashbarg didn't like to have happening. He hadn't foretold it, not even slightly, and even though he would be able to wrestle the whole thing into his continuing story somehow or other, it really was all getting a bit much to deal with. He strode forward, pushed the boys back, and raised his arms and his ancient knobbly staff into the air. The long, warm light of the evening sun caught him nicely. He prepared to welcome whatever gods these were as if he had been expecting them all along. Still, nothing happened. Gradually it became clear that there was some kind of argument going on inside the craft. Time went by and old Thrashbarg's arms were beginning to ache. Suddenly the ramp folded itself back up again. That made it easy for Thrashbarg. They were demons and he had repulsed them. The reason he hadn't foretold it was that prudence and modesty forbade. Almost immediately, a different ramp folded itself out on the other side of the craft from where Thrashbarg was standing, and 2 figures at last emerged on it, still arguing with each other and ignoring everybody, even Thrashbarg, whom they wouldn't even have noticed from where they were standing. Old Thrashbarg chewed angrily on his beard. To continue to stand there with his arms upraised? To kneel with his head bowed forward and his staff held out, pointing at them? To fall backwards as if overcome in some titanic inner struggle? Perhaps just to go off to the woods and live in a tree for a year without speaking to anyone? He opted just to drop his arms smartly as if he had done what he meant to do. They were really hurting, so he didn't have much choice. He made a small, secret sign he had just invented towards the ramp which had closed, and then made 3.5 steps backwards, so he could at least get a good look at whoever these people were, and then decide what to do next. The taller one was a very good-looking woman wearing soft and crumply clothes. Old Thrashbarg didn't know this, but they were made of Rimplon TM, a new synthetic fabric which was terrific for space travel because it looked its absolute best when it was all creased and sweaty. The shorter one was a girl. She was awkward and sullen-looking and was wearing clothes which looked their absolute worst when they were all creased and sweaty. And what was more, she almost certainly knew it. All eyes watched them, except for the picker birds, which had their own things to watch. The woman stood and looked around her. She had a purposeful air about her. There was obviously something in particular she wanted, but she didn't know exactly where to find it. She glanced from face to face among the villagers assembled curiously around her without apparently seeing what she was looking for. Thrashbarg had no idea how to play this at all and decided to resort to chanting. He threw back his head and began to wail, but was instantly interrupted by a fresh outbreak of song from the hut of the sandwich maker, the last one on the left. The woman looked round sharply, and gradually a smile came over her face. Without so much as a glance at old Thrashbarg, she started to walk towards the hut.